Last night I heard them singing over on that peaceful shore. What a time when I can join them over there. I have almost topped the mountain where the rose of Sharon grows, and I know I have a better place to go. I'm so glad that I know when I leave, I have a better place to go. While I'm waiting at the crossing, looking back at friends once more, glory to God, I have a better place to go. In a while I'll meet the reaper who has called so many home. Oh, how sad to leave my loved ones here below. Oh, when they follow to the graveside, I'm so glad I let them know. Glory to God, I have a better place to go. I'm so glad that I know. While I'm waiting at the crossing, looking back at friends once more, glory to God, I have a better place to go.
This, we're going to be in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. I have looked at this passage of Scripture over the time, and many different times when I've read it, it's just been one of those wow things that I've looked at. And I really believe that God loves us with a far greater love than we comprehend. Now, that, there's a lot in that verse. Whenever I was a little bit younger in life and reading the Bible, I'd have always questions. And it would be like, I don't really quite understand it. And a little bit later on, you could ask somebody and they would give you their opinion. But you ever been given an opinion of something and you say, well, that's probably true, but it wasn't what you're looking for? You know, that didn't settle with you. It didn't, okay. And what it was, it wasn't the answer that you really wanted to hear. It didn't make the verse wrong or any of that nature. It was just something that didn't speak to your heart. A little bit later on, you might get that answer. And what it means is, there's a lot of times in the Bible that these words try to get through. But boy, when that door opens up and it gets through to your heart, it'll change you. It'll change the way you think. And this passage of Scripture that we're going to read is very familiar. And what we're going to say is very familiar. But the next place that we're going to go to, I want to try to set this up by showing you how God works. How God will work in your life. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 60 years old, God will work in your life. And God will put things in your life that sometimes it just doesn't make sense, but then it'll work out. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I want to read chapter 22, and I want you to listen with me as we read verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the word. And I pray, God, you speak to all of our hearts. God, how we need you today. And God, we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham is getting this word. How many hundreds of times have we read from this passage? Abraham is getting the word that, listen, I want you to go to Moriah, in the land of Moriah, to a certain mountain, to a certain place. And when you get there, I'm going to tell you next step, as I could call it. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Boy, it's a complicated thing what's fixing to take place. I want you to notice what the Lord said to Abraham. I want you to listen to what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, verse 2, take now thy son. All right, now who was he speaking to? When he's speaking to Abraham right here, he said, take your son. All right, Abraham only had one. And he says, thine only son, Isaac. But then he throws in there, whom thou lovest. Now, these younguns around here, you know how you tell, you know them how them younguns are loved? They're spoiled. They are. And we do our dead level best to spoil them. We really do. They can't hardly whimper. We got a little one around. Right? They don't whimper. No. If they whimper, you're jumping. You really are. You'll jump out of the bed in the middle of the night if they cry. Just jump out of the bed. Then you'll go. And you know, tough love is when you say, well, they'll quit crying eventually. That's kind of probably the way I'd say it. Boy, I'd get killed if I was to say that around certain ones. Why? We show our love a lot of times. We show it. Now God, the Lord really doesn't have nothing to do but watch Abraham. And when the Lord looked at Abraham, the Lord had a bigger old picture in mind. But the Lord looked and said, you know what? I think it'd be a good trial, a good test. Remember, I think we ought to just make Abraham take that son and go offer that son that he's got and offer him as an offering. Now, if I was doing that, that might be the way it worked. But that ain't the way God works. God doesn't work on the outside and say, you know, I've been watching Abraham. He's kind of loving that son a little bit. He kind of watches that son. A lot of times we'll watch him kids and we keep our one eye on them no matter what they do, what they say. And if we see them going to be in hurt, there was a little one up here on the stage a few weeks ago, and Daddy was not too far away, and she was almost going to go out toward the edge. And boy, Daddy just jumped to the spot just in case they stepped off this and they'd go head first. Two steps ain't much, but that's a hard floor. See, that's how we are. That ain't what God was doing here with Abraham. God wasn't taking and saying, let's just see what he will do and test him. Because everything, God will not put on us more than we're able to bear. I like that verse in the Bible. I like for my life to be consistent of easy troubles and easy ones. I like easy things. I don't really want the complicated or the hard things. And if God is going to test me or tempt me, I want God to do it something that I can control and handle it and happen. That ain't the way life is. We have few days and full of troubles. You can find that in the Bible. We're going to have troubles and we're going to have things. But I want you to really get a little bit deeper what God said instead of just saying,
take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, he interjected whom thou lovest. Now I've told you that 100 times before. Ain't nothing new, preacher. No, it ain't nothing new. But I want you to know where God dwells. God knows if you have a love for somebody else. God knows. Now, I'm going to let you digest that just a minute. How do you know that? One day Jesus was coming down the highway, the roads there it was, and there come running up to him what we describe in the Bible as a rich young ruler. That rich young ruler came running up to Jesus and said, Lord, I'd like to have eternal life. There's many other things he could have said, but he said, I want to have eternal life. I want to live forever. Wow, the Lord just said, well, you know what? That's easy. Real simple. Give everything you got away. Take up, just come and just follow me. You got it. You know what happened? We all know. Couldn't do it. Couldn't give up what he had to get what God had. He went away grieved because he had great possessions. Do you think God knew what was happening? Do you think the Lord, I mean, if you get into the details, that you'll find out that there was a lot of things that man said to get there. Oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. There's many things that I've accomplished. There's many things that I've done. And for you to sell everything you got and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me, that was just something he wasn't going to. Don't you think the Lord knew that? The Lord can look on the inside. And when the Lord looks on the inside, he told Abraham, whom thou lovest. The Lord wasn't even involved in this, and Abraham loved Isaac without the Lord getting involved. The Lord stood on in the background, and all of a sudden, this promised child, this child of his old age, this child that God said that would be this promised child. Man, this is, but let's leave the Lord out of it just for a minute. Here an old man has a child, and every step, every journey, every travel, everything that he did, he loved that child. But God knew that he loved that child is the difference. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. When you love somebody and God's not forcing you to love somebody. Bible tells us that if you've got aught against your brother, you know, you've got something against you and your brother, when you come down to the altar to offer your gift unto God, it says, when you get down there and you figured out you've got this aught against your brother, it said, leave your offer, leave it. And you get up from that altar and you go and be reconciled to that brother. And then you come back and offer your gift unto God. Now, the way that is if there's something that you've got wrong, you need to go get it straight and then you come back to God. Boy, that's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of folks that just do you wrong and you're just more than willing, an eye for an eye. That's what we like to do. We like to think we don't have to really get involved about loving thy neighbor as thyself. We don't really need to, that really is not necessary. Some of you folks have got to realize that God has your best intentions. He has what's best for you. And if you will listen to God and if you will follow what God wants, what God is trying to say, you'll have a whole lot better life and a whole lot better heart if you'll get up from that altar and go be reconciled to thy brother and then come back, you'll have it a whole lot better. That's easy, isn't it? And here I'm thinking Abraham had nothing wrong. And Abraham, friend, he was a man that when God spoke and the Lord said, Abraham, boy, what did Abraham say? Here I am. He was willing to jump up and say, here I am. God knew where Abraham was all along. God knows where you're at all along. the story goes, you know, how that Abraham took him and took that son, and they went on a journey, and that son asked questions. Boy, they asked questions. We got the fire and we got the wood. We know where we're basically going, but where's the sacrifice? This is what Isaac is saying to Abraham. Abraham said, don't worry about it. The Lord will provide. He actually says provide himself, you know. The Lord's going to take care of this. See, for a father and son relationship, that was a wonderful relationship. But God looked a little deeper, a little harder, and he put that child on that altar, and he raised that knife and would have run that child through with that knife and killed that son right there. Because God knew what Abraham was capable of. He knows whether you serve God on the outside or whether you serve God on the inside. He knows whether or not you're saying the words but not meaning the words. If you say, I love the Lord, God knows whether or not you mean that or not. It's a whole lot easier in serving the God that we serve. It's a whole lot easier if we just try to play church. Ain't that? Boy, I'm getting up on Sunday morning and I'm going to church and I'm going to sing. I'm going to do all those things. But if the Lord was to ask you a simple question or was to say this, whom thou lovest, well, that kind of goes a little bit deeper. Judges chapter 14 is really where I want to spend the time this morning. And I want you to listen. If you don't mind, turn that. And you might know this and you might not even have to read none of it. But I want to tell you about a little simple story about a man that had went in the wrong direction and went around wrong folks. And in Judges chapter 14 and verses 12, there is a story here. Well, I got a lot to do in a short time to get there. There was a story here about Samson. Samson in chapter 14 and verses 1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Listen to what Samson said. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Samson, and I'm going to say it this way, had godly parents. Samson, and can I say it this way? I believe he loved the Lord. And I'm, you know what he done. Samson had a lot of expression of outward strength, and sometimes Samson didn't do anything, sometimes from the heart. And mom and daddy was willing to say a lot of things to him and try to lead him along. If God was to look down and say to Samson's mom and daddy, and they say, whom thou lovest, you know who they'd say they love? Samson. Samson. You ever heard of the black sheep of the family? You ever heard that terminology? Do you know mom and daddy still love the black sheep of the family? And God knows it. God knows whether your love is genuine or if it's fake. And Samson says to mom and daddy, I know it's the Philistines, the enemy, the bad folks, wrong side of the track. He said, go down there and get her from me. Now I want to pick up reading, and I want you to listen. I want you to think about God knows. I want to read now verse 12. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you certainly declare it with me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And they said unto him, put forth a riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it kind of doesn't make sense, does it? Unless you know the story. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife. Now we skipped a whole lot. Samson's wife. See in the eyes of the Lord, God can look on the outside. Wouldn't you think Samson had enormous strength? Oh yeah, we like to brag about him in the Bible. Samson had the ability to fight the Philistines and had the ability to kind of stand out among the crowd because what he was able to do with the enemy. It's kind of like a lot of folks. A lot of times our outward abilities is what we're known about. For many years, I worked for the Coke Company. And when folks would see me, a lot of times they'd say, that Coke man, you know, who's a Coke man? Anybody that works for that kind of business, that's what you call them. Hey, there's a Coke man. Now that's just the terminology that is used. Friend, whenever you saw Samson and you looked at Samson, you would say, oh, look at here. Look at his great strength. Look at here. Did they ever once call Samson godly? Godly. Did they ever once take Samson's wife and say to her, spiritual, holy? Is there something about this person that these outward things, because that's how we look at folks, and that's how, and I'm going to say it, we judge folks that way. We look at outward. And here in this passage of Scripture, there is a riddle to be performed. And they could, these other folks, these Philistines, they couldn't figure it out. And they go to Samson's wife to try to connive to get the answer to the riddle. Simple, isn't it? It's simple. See, the devil knows exactly where to fight a husband and wife. And I could go into a whole bunch of things about the Philistines and here's God's people marrying into the Philistines, and I could go into that. But I want to just look at this love thing. I want you to see that she began to hear things that probably she didn't want to hear. And the Bible says in verses 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle. And here's the problem. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Lest we threaten you to burn you and your father's house with fire unless you find out the answer to the riddle. Now, does God allow things like this to happen? Is this a test? Is this the strength of a Samson's wife? Man, she had to be very spiritual. She had to be very godly. She had to know all she needed to do was tell her husband. And man, her husband would take care of this. Her husband would get on his knees in front of God. See, this doesn't sound like Samson at all, does it? And when she hears this, that we're going to burn you and we're going to burn your families. In other words, we're going to kill every one of your family. Friend, don't you think as a godly person, friend, when we're in trouble, friend, I can call on God. I can call on God any day of the week. I can call on God in the middle of the night. And friend, God, he can answer a prayer. And just like that. And we're talking Samson. And you know what happened? She never said a word to Samson. Does God look at us and measure our love in time of tragedy? Have you ever just had your heart just wanting to bust within you because what's going on and the only one you could tell it to was God? I want you to know He's an ever-present help in time of need and time of trouble. He's the one you really need to take your troubles to. Friend, we can talk amongst ourselves and we can pray for one another and we can do all those things outwardly to every one of us. But sometimes there comes a time when you and God just need to get in that prayer closet and be able to have a conversation that only you and God can have. And in this situation, she was a Philistine. She had the wrong upbringing, the wrong thing. But friend, I don't care how much wrong we've ever done in our life. If you'll turn to God, He has the answer. He has the answer. Even to the Philistines, these folks. It's kind of like if you're on the wrong side of the track. God loves those folks that's on the wrong side of the track. And don't ever think that you're godly enough that God loves you more. Friend, you'll be just like the rich young ruler. You'll go away grieved. It might not be money you got, but it might be something else that's standing between you and your God. And if you don't serve God, you're going to die and go to hell. It's either salvation or nothing. So the story goes that she began to cry. And Samson, she began to cry. You know what Samson told her the riddle? She goes and tells the children of her folks, tell that riddle done. Samson goes out, he provides, he does all those things. You read that story, but I want you to listen. Samson says to these folks, this wouldn't have happened if you hadn't a plow with my heifer. Now that's a wonderful, you can't repeat a statement like that. It's like, what? Read it. If you hadn't a plow with my heifer, you wouldn't have figured this out. Well, unless you're a farmer, you don't even know what a heifer is, but let's go on. But the truth of it is, if you hadn't a messed with this, if you hadn't a done this, you wouldn't have found it out. Now, the reason why I told all this story, I want you to listen. How many times did God say, whom thou lovest, to Samson? Not one time do we read in this passage of Scripture, not one time did God say, Samson, do you love your wife? Well, I'm taking for granted. Did he say to his parents in verses 2, go down there, go there, and you go in, he said, go and get her from me. Did he say he loved her and go get her from me? You know something? God knows whether you love someone, and God knows whether you love Him. You men folk have got in trouble over the years for this one thing, Valentine's Day, anniversaries, or birthdays, or I can probably name 10 more holidays that you've messed up with your wife. God, you're still alive, so I don't know how, but you're still alive. The truth of it is, you'd say, man, Samson could have said, man. Samson never once said, man. In fact, after this situation, you know what Samson did? Left. He didn't come back and say, it's all right, wife. It's all right, you messed up. It's all right, you done wrong. You know what Samson tried to do? He tried to live a family life in a very tough atmosphere, in a very bad situation, without a love that even God could brag on. And that's what God was doing with Abraham. He was bragging on Abraham for the love that Abraham had for Isaac. And you say, preacher, where are you going? Just hang with me just a moment. God recognizes love. God actually helps you love far greater than you'll understand. When you love God. I've said this many times and listen to it. God teaches you how to love. We read John 3:16 and we think we've got it all figured out. We think we've got God figured out. For God so loved the world. We ain't got that one figured out. I look at a bunch of you and I ain't figured out why God loves you. Don't you say the same about me, because I'm lovable. God loves me. No, we don't look at the outside. No, God looks inside. See, when we leave this world, we're going to leave this old clay behind. We're going to leave this. And friend, what really looks good on us is that soul. And that soul is on the inside. Friend, we're going to be known as we're known. I got news for you. We're going to look a whole lot better on the other side than we look on this side. But it don't really matter about looks. You know what really matters? Is the inside. The inside. I look at the scriptures here and I look when Samson left and he had anger and he had all kinds of malice. He was upset. And trouble, my goodness. One in John, the book of John, about 10 or 11th chapter, somewhere's in there. Story of the Lord and Lazarus. We like to read this because this is the one scripture when Lazarus died. And we like this scripture because that's where we have Bible scholars that says, I know how to quote a verse and I got one all figured out. The shortest one in the Bible, Jesus wept. Boy, we got that figured out. No, that ain't the reason why that shortest verse is in there. I like this. When they started separating and separating by verses, that had such great importance. Why did Jesus wept? Why did he do that? Why did he cry? Could he not bring him back? Oh, he could bring him back. Why did he cry? Friend of mine, when the Lord loves you, he loves you. No matter if you get in trouble, he loves you. He loves you despite what you do sometimes. Now, in Abraham's case, Abraham loved Isaac and nothing had ever transpired. And I wished I could tell you that nothing ever transpires in my life. That it's just kind of humdrum and kind of boring and just kind of, oh, it's just another day. But I want to tell you something. My life is just like your life. If I didn't have God, I don't know really what I'd do each day. Amen. And if you don't realize what God means when Jesus come up to that tomb, this old earthly body, this old heart, these old tear ducts, friend, you put all that together. You may have a mess, but I want to tell you, when you love somebody, you'll weep. We'll weep with those that weep. We cry with those that cry. Then there's times we get to laugh with those that'll laugh. But I got news for you. There's so many times when God puts us in that right spot when we can see God's love toward us. The Lord was able to see the love that Abraham had for Isaac. And he knows the love that you have today. Oh, you say you love your family. God knows whether you do or not. And you might even say, I love the Lord. And God knows whether you do or not. I'm going to come to church every time the church doors is open. That ain't showing God love. You might be faithful, but that ain't showing God love. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Same thing. That ain't showing God's love. That's just reading your Bible. Showing God love is whether you're willing to give God 2 minutes of your life or 24 hours a day. Because there's a lot of folks in this world that can't wait to give their time to God as long as it don't interfere and you fill in the blank. The difference is when you love God. Because when you love God, you just can't wait to be around God. We say, I'm around God all the time. As well as it was a perfect example. One of my favorite, I like John chapter 21. And I like to read the part in John chapter 21. Peter denied the Lord three times. Jesus appears back after the resurrection, appears back to those disciples, and he goes right back to that same spot. And they're sitting around there eating and they're talking, and Jesus, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, just nothing else better to do. And the Lord says to Peter, said, do you love me? Boy, what kind of answer is that? If the Apostle Peter had the book of Genesis and he could thumbed it open right quick and found the 22nd chapter and looked at that verse 2 and could have heard the Lord say, whom thou lovest. You see what I'm talking about? Don't you think God knew if Peter loved him? Peter says to the Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I want you to know something. God knows whether you love him right now today. You can claim all the religion you want, but God knows whether you love him or not. Oh, there's been times when you feel like you've lost your best friend and God still loves you. There's been times when it seemed like the whole world has forsaken you. And guess what? When it come to that crucifixion scene and the disciples all run away and left, don't you know the Lord knew each one of those disciples on the inside and knew whether they loved him or not? And even though they loved him, just like the Apostle Peter, because of what was happening, they ran. And guess how many times we've ran from God. We've done wrong. We've not settled what God's wanted. We have been the ones that's been guilty and run away from God. And God never stopped loving us, even in our running. Thank God. Oh, thank God that he don't do like I do. Thank God that he's genuine. I want to ask you a question. God know about you? Or you just say, hey, preacher, I got it all under control. You don't have to try to fool me. Your job is to try to fool God, and you can't. You can't fool God. Friend, it's just a simple little story. Whom thou lovest. Simple, isn't it? Do you love the Lord today? Have you been born again? If you've not been saved, I want you to know that salvation is the only thing that can change a heart. And maybe you've been living on the outside. Since you've been saved a lot, living on the outside. What I mean is, you're on that fringe. You're just barely hanging on. I got news for you. The Lord is able to restore. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's have a song of invitation. Do you know that you're willing to say, but mean it. Mean it. Mean it. I love the Lord.
You don't have to put on a front. He knows.
Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking to you. These altars are open for you. Love for you to pray. I'll help you if you need help. Come.